You think it's going to be different today? If you have your Bibles, of course, turn with us to our scripture. You have the sermon notes in your bulletin that I would encourage you to look at as well as we think about what's going to be said today. It's important. Live in the Word. Live in the Word. I have a habit that is a part of my daily routine. First thing in the morning, I get up and I fix my coffee. Got to have my coffee, my good coffee from Charleston, South Carolina, of course. I like my coffee. It's good. It's namesake for home. It's better than our football team right now and those kind of things. So this thing don't want to pour it all out. Well, let's do it a different way. There we go. And believe it or not, this is my special cup. I got two of them. So I get one every morning. This is the cup that I have. I then do my vital signs. And then I cook my breakfast and I eat my breakfast. And then I take my cup of coffee out of its special cup. And I go to my study and I open my computer, get out my books. I open my iPad and I get into the Word. I have accountability partners, and we have a specific plan that we study every morning. We're going through A.W. Tozer's book right now, the new textbook of the Bible. And what he's done is he's taken many of the doctrines, many of the things that are in the Scripture, and he's outlined it and pulled all the passages of Scripture together, and we study that. Last week, it was on election. On election. I'm not talking about politics now. I'm talking about God's electing, God's choosing us. Going through that, I've never believed in predestination because God's too big of a heart to say, okay, that person's going to hell no matter what, that they don't have a choice. He gives us a choice. And so we've come through election. It was a really good study to go through that. And then as we continue every day, we'd study a passage of Scripture. I email my friends. Those accountability partners, they email me and speak into my life through that. Once I do that, I will do my master life study, and that takes me anywhere from 25 to 30 minutes, or if I dig a little bit deeper, a little bit longer. And once I finish that, then I work on this week's sermon, and next week's sermon, and next week's sermon. So I'm always looking ahead to that. Jesus was using the experience of understanding his word to teach his disciples, this is how you can live obediently. This is how you can know me. And so this week in the Master Life, we studied the Bible and teachings of the Bible. In John 8, he said in verse 30, and as he was saying these things, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, you are really my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Father, we pray today that you would speak into our hearts from the words of the Lord Jesus about his word, about his teachings, about his requirements on our life. Help us get past that Mickey's got a table set before us and rearrange the platform. Help us get past that he's sitting down. Help us understand the message that Jesus gave to the Jews and his disciples about how they can know and serve him. Speak to our heart, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we look at this, we realize that there is a difference in believing and following. I sat down on this stool a few moments ago. Most of y'all would have believed this stool would have held me up here. You know, you would have believed that. But I trusted the stool when I sat down. I invested myself to the stool. I've been in a chair that is broken in front of people, and it's very embarrassing. And they always remember the preacher broke the chair at the house, you know, and they'll keep that. I'll hear about it next weekend or two weekends from now when we get back to Monk's Corner about breaking the chair in Miss Bonnie's house. And she's been dead 30 years, you know, but it's still going to be remembered. Now, as you look at this passage of Scripture, You understand in the verse prior to this, it said many believed. Many believed Jesus. Now, as they said that, they were believing in him. But Jesus doesn't stop there about many believing in him. He turned to those who said believing gives them a condition. A challenge is what he did. If you continue in my word, you are really my disciples. Why? Because Jesus knew not believing all that he said was not going to produce a difference in their lives. They had to believe in all that he said if they were going to have a saving faith. I told somebody a while ago, I believe we invested wrongly in a lot of people's lives 30, 40, and 50 years ago. But we told them, all you got to do is pray this prayer and you're saved. You're going to heaven. But Jesus would challenge our thoughts there. It's not just believing, not saying we confess our sin and we believe he is the Lord and Savior. No, he said you've got to do what he said. We've got to live out his word in our life because Jesus knew saving faith makes a difference when you believe. Now, those many believed that were fascinated by Jesus' miracles. They were inspired by his teachings and challenging to them. They were attracted to his kindness and the way he cared for them and loved them. But a few of them continued to come and because it cost so much to follow him. Some believed in their minds but never surrendered their hearts. Some followed for a season and then fell by the wayside, not a lifetime. Some were fans of Jesus, but they were not followers of Jesus. You know, they would cheer him on when he would preach or he'd do a miracle, but they wouldn't follow him as he went to another community to preach and teach them. This is the heart of Jesus' message. True discipleship is proving not by our profession, but by our perseverance, that we stay faithful to him, we stay obedient to him. Many people believe today, and they say they believe in Jesus. But Jesus makes the important distinction in this passage. Belief that leads to discipleship is not a one-time decision. It's a lifetime devotion. It's continued belief and devotion. Not all belief is saving belief. Some point to his ministry. The crowds were beginning to respond to his teachings. Yet Jesus knew that the real discipleship was going to be proven not by the moment of belief, but at the moment of obedience. Obedience. Today you're going to see true discipleship are those who abide in the word, grow in its truth, and live in its freedom. Notice the context of the passage. John 8 talks about the Feast of the Tabernacle, the great party where they live in a booth. They put up a tent outside of their home or outside of the city, and they live there for a week celebrating what God did in the wilderness wanderings, how God provided, how God had taken care of, how God had protected them. And so they do this every year. They have this celebration of what God did. And there's that feast. There's the great candelabra when Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But there is this feast goes on, and he said that he was what they needed day in and day out. So as this is going on and as this is taking place, the statement confronts the darkness of God's people in being the light of the world. But then he said, the true discipleship is proven by perseverance. Some reject him, others believe, but Jesus tested their belief regularly. Why? Because Jesus knew not all belief was a saving belief. I can believe, but if I don't trust myself to it, daily, I'm not going to experience. Many were fascinated by Jesus' miracles. They were inspired by his teachings. They were challenged and attracted to his kindness. But few continued to follow him because it was so costly. Some believed with their minds, but never surrendered their hearts. Some believed for a season, but not for a lifetime. Some were fans, but not followers. This is the heart of Jesus' message. True discipleship is proven by our profession, but by our perseverance. Now, true disciples abide in the word. they continue in my word. Remember last week we talked about that you had to stay connected to the vine. You had to be connected. The branch had to stay connected to bear fruit. And there was the pruning, there was the cutting away, there was throwing into the fire. There was the walk as the disciples left that upper room and were headed for Gethsemane. And they walked past the temple where the vines and the branches and the fruit was covered in gold because people had donated so their names could be in front of everybody. Well, here's another experience. Jesus said to those, "Abide in me and I in you." That means we dwell, we remain, we stay connected. That's why I can have breakfast and coffee and share time with the Lord, because I want him to be here. I don't want it to be rushed. I want to be able to take my time. That's when we get to know people, isn't it? When we fellowship with them, when we eat with them, when we sit down with them, we spend time and we can ask questions and respond to questions. And we begin to unfold who our life is and what's going on. That's what's happening when Jesus said, it's not starting well, but it's staying faithful, being obedient, being there. It's kind of like a marriage. You remember your wedding day? In a wedding, there's always a covenant. I commit, I bind, will you, I do. Those things are being expressed. That's a covenant. We signed the covenant that day, but you understand that the wedding begins with the covenant, but it becomes a lifetime through faithfulness that proves it. That covenant, yeah, but we're faithful and it proves it. And the same way saying, I believe Jesus is the start, the daily abiding, the daily sitting with Jesus, listening to his word, learning what he has to say, proves your relationship. Now, the word anchors us in a shifting world. The world around us is constantly changing. The values, the definitions, the morals are always in flux, changing, different things happening. But the disciples' life is going to be anchored to the unchanging word of God. We can say what we want to say, but the Bible says what is true. The Bible gives us what we're going to be examined by when we get to heaven. And it tells us that we're going to, if we abide in the scripture, we find stability. We can face whatever comes our way. If we ignore it, we drift away. We move away. We lose connection. Psalms 1 describes the blessed person as one who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on it day and night. I find that when I study scripture in the morning, it has a way of coming back to me all through the day. Things that are said, things that I do, opportunities that present themselves, experiences that I have, it reminds me, what did God say to me this morning? How did he say it? It's like the tree that is planted by the streams of water. That tree is fed moisture all the time. And the Bible says it bears its fruit in season. Now, the one in heaven's going to bear its fruit 12 times a year. It's always going to be nourishing and producing and giving to us the life-sustaining things. That's what the Word of God does. When we study the Bible, it nourishes us. If your roots are shallow in God's Word, then your faith withers. It's going to dry up. When it gets dry, when it gets hard, when it gets different, when it gets difficult, those kind of things are going to come and we're going to dry up. We're going to fall away. Look around you. It's happening all the time. We're seeing it all the time. I told you last week, we understand that there is going to be 20,000 churches closed in the United States this year. That's how far we're falling away from the faith. And yet you got this one young guy that is assassinated in front of a crowd. And because it's on YouTube and other places, it's seen all over the world. Literally thousands upon thousands of young people are coming to faith in Christ. They're starting an organization to study the Bible. They want to know why this guy was different, what he had to say, what makes him different. And so they're starting to study the word in colleges, on campuses, in high schools, and other places because they're interested in the word of God. It sustains life. That's how his wife could stand before the crowd and the TV cameras and say, I forgave the man. She demonstrated what she learned in the Bible, what God has said to us. You know, it's more than reading a verse. It's more than getting just an insight. I got two Bible apps that send me a verse of scripture every day. One's a proverb and one's another verse. And you know, somehow or another, those verses come back to me throughout the day. Seeing, hearing, talking, being involved with other people, events that present themselves, it changes your thoughts. It gives you a purpose for choices. It gives you strength for character to live by it. Abiding involves an obedience too. The Jewish culture, the disciple didn't just listen to the rabbi, they imitated him. Now, in that culture, in the Jewish culture, they would go into the synagogue and they would sit down in a room and he would explain the scripture to them. And they would listen to it and they would learn it. Then they'd go out and they would dress like the rabbi. They would try to look like him and they would try to live like him. Now, the problem was that he added to the Ten Commandments, he added to the Torah, the 613 rabbinical laws that had been passed and established to give them guidance for their daily living. Jesus said his disciples were not going to be in a classroom. They're going to have their cross and they're going to follow him step by step every day. And when he died and went back to heaven after the resurrection, he said, now you go make more disciples. Teach them everything I've taught you. There we were in that environment where the disciple was not in a classroom, but he's in the community, sharing the gospel, imitating Jesus, living like Jesus, talking like Jesus, loving like Jesus. True disciples means putting Jesus' words into practice. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. If you're not going to do what God tells you to do, then you're fooling yourself because you're not going to be one of God's. You remember the books that are going to be open when we get to heaven? We talked about it at the great white throne, those books, and we named five different books. How we lived is one of those books. The things we did, the things that we said, they're going to be examined. You can't claim to be a follower of Christ while ignoring what he has commanded to us. True disciples grow in the word. You will know the truth. Abiding in the word leads to knowing the truth, not just inherently or intelligently, but personally, spiritually. You know, you could ask me if I knew somebody, and I can say if I'm friends with them on Facebook, I know them. If they worked at the same business I worked at or they were in the church that I was at, I could say I knew them. I can tell you people I know because my brother and sister know them. But all of that doesn't matter. If you're going to know Jesus, you got to know him personally. People could say, I told you all about one time in Florida when the guy at the church said, you need to move your equipment and come back Monday after church. And I said, we can't do that. Takes too much work to move this kitchen that's in the parking lot that is producing 20,000 meals a day. We can't take it down this afternoon and put it back up tomorrow afternoon. It takes 2 days to tear it down, pack it, move it, and 2 days to bring it back, put it back up. We're not going to move. And if I do move, I'm going to another church. And he said, well, maybe I need to call Dr. Record. Call Dr. Record. That was the executive, the boss at NAM. So I pulled out my phone and he said, what you doing? I said, I'm calling Bob. Wait a minute. See, he knew Dr. Record because his name was on the website. I knew Bob because I would sit across from his desk and talk to him. We had a relationship. That's the difference for us today. If we remain in his word, we know Jesus. We know what he would say. We know what he would do. He know what he's going to tell us to do. You see, the Bible's not just information, it's a revelation. It reveals the heart of God. It reveals the nature of Christ to us, how important that is. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit will teach us truth. John 16:13, when the Spirit comes, he will guide you in all truth. You see, the Holy Spirit's not just something that makes us run and dance and speak in tongues. There's a lot more to the Holy Spirit than that. It may be more HD, you know, ADHD, when you're doing all those kinds of things, because the Holy Spirit is going to teach you down. He's going to deliver an understanding of the Scripture. He's going to help you apply it to your daily lives. That means discipleship, not merely about studying. It's about growing spiritually. It's about serving the Lord Jesus. It's about ministering through the Holy Spirit's guidance. Those are things that's so important to us that the Holy Spirit teaches us. And truth transforms us. A few years ago, Oprah said everybody should know their own truth. Know your truth. Well, let me tell you, your truth is not going to guide you. It may influence you, but it's going to get you in trouble. It's not going to reveal you. It's not going to transform you. When you go in growing in the truth, you begin to think differently. You begin to live differently. You begin to love differently. Paul said in Romans 12, 2, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is, be updated regularly. My old computer here is 8 years old. You know, every now and then they put out an update to give it more information, give it more ability, give it more technical power, give it more protection. They do it with your phone regularly. I had a guy that his wife died, and the sons took him to the store to look at his phone, and there were 23 updates in his phone that had never been updated. So it was just like it was the 15 years before when he bought it. It couldn't do all the latest stuff. It has to be updated. It has to be tended to. It has to be minded. That's us. If you want to be updated by the Lord God, you're going to study His Word, because the Holy Spirit then will imply it in such a way, apply it in such a way that it's going to make you different. It's going to give you more information. It's going to give you more protection. It's going to give you more understanding. It's going to give you more opportunity to serve Him. The more we know God's truth, the less the world's lies will have influence over us. The less Satan can deceive us. That's why Jesus is saying, when he quoted the scriptures in the wilderness, get behind me, Satan, because I have the word. I know what God has said. When we know what God says, Satan doesn't have a chance, friends. But we've got to know. Bank tellers are trained how to find imitation money or counterfeit money. They put them through a training that they would learn to understand how a dollar is the wrong kind, one that has been run off on a copy machine in the office, not one that has been produced by the government. You know how they do it? They only handle the real stuff. They don't give them bad money. They only let them give them the real money. They learn how it feels. They learn the little nuances and the print. They can see things. They understand things. And so when the money is handed to a bank teller, they can tell by touching it whether it's real or not. How do we learn about life? We learn about life by handling it. When we dwell in God's word, we can recognize falsehood quickly. We understand what God has taught us. Ask yourself today, am I growing in an understanding of God's word? Do I measure my opinions by Scripture, or Scripture by my opinions? You see, we need to let the Bible say what it's going to say, not say, this is what I think the Bible is saying. No. If you're listening to the Holy Spirit and you're studying the word of God, you're going to understand what God is saying to us. You see, do I seek the truth that is right, or to be righteous? I want to be good, you know. I want to be the one that impresses people. That never cuts it, because you're always going to fall short. You're always going to miss the mark. True disciples grow in the truth because they stay connected to the Word. True disciples live in freedom. Jesus said, when you know the truth, it will set you free. it will release you. You see, when you don't know the truth, you're bound by other things. Freedom from sin is deception. You remember Adam and Eve in the garden? And one day Eve was going about her business doing what she did in the garden, and the snake come up and said, you know, did God really say you can't eat from any tree of the garden? She said, yeah, he told us we can eat from anyone but that one. Well, you think you'll really die if you eat from that tree? Do you really think that's what God meant? That God would kill you because you eat from that tree? And Eve bought into Satan's lie. So she gets the fruit off the tree of the good knowledge of good and the knowledge of good and evil, takes a bite. Just like that, she's out of God's will. She's out of God's purpose. She's out of God's blessings. Well, that wasn't enough, because all the way Adam comes in, and oh, sure enough, Adam, you should taste this, how good it is. Same thing, just like that, Adam's out. Next thing you know, they're cast out of the garden. They're separated from God because they disobeyed God. The one thing he told them they couldn't do, and they wanted to do it. Their eyes were open. They saw, they understood, but it was too late. And then God spoke to them. You see, sin always promises freedom. It always, if you do what you want, you're going to be okay. If you get what you want, you're going to obey. You'll be happier if you do these things. Oh, and it'll be so good for you. You'll enjoy it and make life so much better. All those kind of things begin to build up. But sin's freedom is a trap. It leads to addiction. It leads to shame. It leads to death. Just like with Adam and Eve, they were consigned to die because they disobeyed God. You and I are consigned to die because we disobeyed God. But the only truth that we can find that will set us free from sin's lies and the bondage of sin and guilt is what Jesus said, the Son will set you free, and you will be really free. You see, freedom to serve and love others come from the study of God's Word. Christian freedom is not freedom from all restraint. It's freedom to live as God has designed, to do what God wants us to do. When you walk in the truth, you discover the joy of obedience, peace and surrender, and the purpose of service. Man, when I did what Daddy wanted, life was sweet. It was good. I mean, everything from Coca-Cola's on down, I could get. NAMs, I mean, get to do things. I could go places. Dad would let me drive. I mean, you could just go down the list of all the things. But when I didn't do what Dad wanted me to do, trouble came. There was sometimes, meet me in the bedroom. That was not a good experience. And there were other times, the finger in the face, and you did bad. You shouldn't have done that. You know what I wanted you to do. Go through that. All those things are good. But when you live in the Word and you understand what the Word is like a train, when it's on the track, it can just go and go and go as long as it's on the track. When it gets off the track, it can't go. When you and I are living in the Word and we understand what God wants from us, friends, nothing can stop us. We can do anything God wants us to do. We're not going to crash. We're not going to burn. We can just keep moving, doing what God wants us to do. And I will tell you, when you're in God's will, there's no sweeter place there is. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it costs you your life. We see it in other parts of the world today. Churches are being burned. Believers are being locked into churches, and they're burned because of their faith in Jesus and their willingness to serve Jesus. But friends, they are going to Jesus through that experience. God's truth is the track that keeps us in our life. Freedom leads to a witness as well. When people see your life marked by freedom, not by fear, not by bondage, not by confusion, they're drawn to Christ. I saw it time in and time out, day in and day out on disasters. People would say, why are you people different? How can you do this? Why do you sleep on the floor? Why did you come from so far away to sleep on the floor and work in this nasty house or cut trees or get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and cook food for thousands of people? Why? 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 And we told them, you go to Jesus. Just like Jesus told the 12 to go preach and heal, and he told the 70, go heal and preach. We told our people, you minister to people, but you share the gospel when they ask questions. How much is it going to cost me? Not going to cost you anything. It's already paid for. Who paid for it? Jesus did. And you get to tell the story of Jesus. You see, people see a life that is marked by freedom and not fear and bondage and confusion. They're drawn. Paul said, for freedom, Christ set us free. Stand firm then and don't submit again to the yoke of slavery. To be free is why Jesus saved us. To be free from sin and death, that's why Jesus saved us. True disciples live in freedom that glorifies God and testifies to his grace. That freedom is the proof of discipleship. If you continue, if you really are my disciples, Jesus said, if you continue, you really are my disciples. If you believe, you are my disciples, he said. If you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. The proof of discipleship is continuance. That keeping on, doing what God said. The measure of discipleship is obedience, listening and hearing what he says to us, obeying him, love one another, care for each other, hold each other accountable, share the gospel, make disciples. I mean, I could just keep going. Those little phrases that Jesus said. The reward of being a disciple is freedom. If you abide in the word, are you abiding in the word? Is your faith a momentary belief out there somewhere? Oh, when I was a kid, I believed and I confessed and was baptized. Or is it a lifelong commitment? You know, it's interesting when you hear people give their testimonies that they only talk about something that happened 30, 40, 50 years ago. And they can't tell you what God did yesterday in their life, you begin to wonder about them. What kind of disciple are they? Did God not do something in your life yesterday? Can you tell other people what God did in your life yesterday? Can you share that? You know, true disciples grow in truth. They allow God's word to transform them, to move in their hearts, to strengthen them, to encourage them. Oh, they tell us to exercise. You remember that? Get up and exercise. You get stronger. You'll go stronger and you get more ability. You'll have more opportunity. The same thing is with God. If you trust your faith and use your faith, it gets stronger every day. True disciples live in freedom. They walk daily in the liberty that Christ provides. Every day doing what he wants you to do. Perhaps you once walked closely with Christ, but you've drifted away. You're not close now. Jesus calls you to return. Come back. Come back. Abide in my word. Listen to what I'm saying. Hear what I have to say. And it makes a difference in your life. Now, my question is, do you need to become a true disciple today? Is the day that you're going to say, all right, all that's over with, I'm coming back, I'm going to do, or I'm coming to find Jesus as my Lord and Savior? Maybe you never really trusted Christ as Lord. The invitation today is for you to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, to become a true disciple. There is that ABCD that we talk about. You know, you admit that you've done things wrong. Do you believe that Christ died and can raise you from the dead just like he did himself? See, you're willing to confess him as Lord to anybody and everybody And I add the D, that you want to dedicate yourself to discipleship. That means you want to learn what the Bible says and apply it. That doesn't mean coming to a book club once a week. That doesn't mean listening to a Bible study on Sunday morning and then ignoring it the rest of the week. But that means delving into it. You remember back in Sunday school, you had the little envelopes you'd put your offering in, and then you'd check if you did your daily Bible reading, if you prayed, if you had shared your faith, if you're inviting somebody to come to church, if you're going to stay for church. Remember when you used to check those things? Well, we don't use them anymore because people don't check them anymore. We don't listen. We don't learn. Consequently, 70% of the people that are 10 minutes from this building, that's 35,000 people, will die and go to hell if Jesus comes today. Folks, he has told us as his disciple, we are to know his word and we are to tell them about him. Baptize them and teach them everything he's taught us. What do you know about Jesus? Are you a disciple? Are you following him? Let's pray. Father, we pray that you'd move in our midst now and that you'd remind us of your call upon our lives to be true disciples. Help us today to live in such a way that we would demonstrate your love and grace to all that we encounter and that we can tell them about Jesus. Hear our prayer, for we lift it in Jesus' name. Amen.